So great to have you this morning. You know, we are not on site today, but we're bringing church into your home. And so we are online, and so we're glad that all of you are here. Why don't you take just a minute and hit that chat and just let us know that you're here. And just interact with this service. And maybe you might have some questions. I'll say this again, but you can put all your questions to info@trinitydallas.com, and we're happy to get back with you as soon as possible. We live in amazing and very interesting times, and it's an amazing and interesting thing to have this kind of service. But I really believe that God is pushing us to this for a reason, for a purpose. And so it's exciting to be able, through technology, to come right into your home, into your kitchen, into your breakfast room, into your living room, your den, and just be with you this morning. So I'm happy to do that. I want to just encourage those of you who are regular givers, regular tithes, and give you regular offerings to not shrink back in this time. You know, you can, many of you have the Push Pay app on your phone, the Trinity Church app, and so you can continue to give your tithes and offerings. And others of you can go to the website, and we have plenty of opportunity there for you to hit the right button to give. But let's don't shrink back. Let's don't lose our faithfulness to God. Because I believe if we'll continue to be faithful to Him, He'll be faithful to us. And so I want to encourage you to give this morning. Do that. Our worship team did an outstanding job this morning. And thank you, Esther and all the team. And so we're excited to be with you this morning. This morning I want to talk to you about crisis. And before I do, I just want to remind you that you're not alone. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will be in us and He will be with us. Jesus said, I'll never forsake you, I'll never leave you. And so no matter how isolated you may feel this morning, the Lord is with you. And His presence is with you. You never have to be alone. And so I think these moments of self-isolating, of staying in our home, some of the states, New York, California, some of those are already sheltering in place, but it gives us an opportunity to reset, to recalibrate, and to get our lives really on track with what God's saying and doing in this hour. I want to talk to you about a crisis. Crisis is the place where danger and opportunity converge. September 11th, 2001, it was 8:45 a.m. on a clear Tuesday morning. An American Airlines Boeing 767 loaded with 20,000 gallons of jet fuel crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City. At 9:03 a.m., shortly after, the South Tower was hit. I remember that moment so well. You know, we measure time chronologically. Minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. But God has another way of measuring time. He can measure time in moments. Those moments that come into our lives that change the trajectory of our life, that change us forever, that change the way that we've done life. It changes all that. I remember that morning that on September the 11th, because I'd gotten up that morning, taking both the children to school, and decided to go by the service station and fill up with gas. And then when I walked into the service station, the television was playing, and people were standing around looking, and we saw the North Tower on fire. And within just a few minutes, I called Nancy and said, hey, turn on your television, something crazy has happened. And within just a few minutes, the South Tower was hit. I'll never forget that morning. Never forget where I was, what I was doing, what I was thinking, because it marked my life. 9/11 was a moment in time. It was a crisis. That crisis produced a moment in time that changed the trajectory of our nation. It spawned a new era of global terrorism, a new flight regulations, new government departments, new wars, new ways of warfare. It exposed the vulnerability of our culture, the vulnerability of our way of life. It exposed our free society and our mission to the world. And quite frankly, life has never been the same since 9/11. Today, I want to talk to you about crisis. We're in a crisis. The definition of crisis is a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. Some of the synonyms include a catastrophe, a calamity, a disaster. It is a time when difficult decisions must be made. Crisis has two characters in the Chinese language that make up the word. The first character is the character for danger. The second character is the character for opportunity. So when the Chinese write the word crisis using their language, they have two characters. One, danger, and another, opportunity. Why is that? Because there are two perspectives. That in any crisis, any situation, any event, whether it's a personal crisis or a worldwide crisis like we're in now, there are two ways to look at it. There are two perspectives to see it in. One is the perspective of the danger that is encroaching upon our lives, the hurt that we feel, the loss that we've had, the problems that we're having to circumvent. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is the opportunity that it presents for us. Because every crisis creates an opportunity. It creates an opportunity. Today, the world faces a major crisis with the coronavirus. And just like 9/11, this crisis too will change the world in some way. It'll also change the trajectory of the church. It's already beginning to happen. You now are a product of it this morning. You see, before the corona crisis, the church really was all about a church building and a weekend message. That's what church was oriented around. But now, we see that the church must be oriented around something else. We got to reorient it, okay? And the church is reorienting now around shepherding the flock of God, taking care of God's flock, staying connected with them, and allowing them to connect back to us. It's about the relationships that we have. It's about caring for people. It's about looking after people. It's about reaching people and ministering to them and caring for them. The crisis has forced us to reorient the church around shepherding the flock of God. And secondly, it has forced us to reorient around making disciples and training leaders in small groups. It's really a moment for the church to rethink how we do ministry. So the Bible is full of crises. It's full of peril. Lots and lots of stories about famine, storms, wars, invasions, attacks, divisions, disease, affliction, persecution, natural disasters, and God-made disasters. But today I want to talk to you about a particular passage of Scripture that describes a crisis. As we read the Scripture and make some observations out of Mark chapter 4, I want you to think about how this crisis has affected you and how it's changing your trajectory in life. In Mark chapter 4, the disciples of Jesus, some of them at least, encountered a crisis. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, the Bible says that on the same day when the evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, as I read this, I want to make some observations. Some observations that we'll later talk through again. But the Bible says that Jesus said, the day was done, he said, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus had a plan. He had a purpose. He had a plan. We're not going to stay where we are today. We're going to cross over to the other side. There's another way. There's another place. There's another time. There's something else waiting for us. Something that we've got to move towards. And so he says, "Let us cross over to the other side." And in the same way that Jesus told his disciples they're going to cross over to the other side, I can promise you that we're going to get to the other side of this crisis. That this doesn't last forever. That this is not something that's going to be with us the rest of our lives. This too will come and it will go. But it will leave its mark on us. It will adjust and in some cases change the trajectory of our own as individuals, families, communities, churches, cities, and the world. And so Jesus always has a plan. Nothing is random or haphazard with him. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows every bird, even when one falls to the ground. He's got it covered. And so on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." He has a plan. Verse 36 says, "Now when they had left the multitude, they took Jesus along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him." You know, I love this little part where it says other little boats were also with him. There are lots of little eyes watching how we respond, how we act, and how we react in a crisis. They're watching us. They're taking their cues from us. Should they be concerned? Should they be worried? Should they be upset? Should they be in faith? Should they be trusting God or should they not? They're watching us. And so all these little boats were with him. And verse 37 says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. You know, storms and crisis come in our lives very unexpectedly. 2 weeks ago, even though we knew the information about what was going on in China and sort of how it was spreading around the world, would we ever have thought that it would come to this moment? Would we have ever thought that the state of California, the state of New York, would be sheltering in place? Would we ever thought that the stock market would lose a third of its value? We ever thought that these things would happen, that we would lose our job, that we would be meeting in church online and not on site? Because storms come unexpectedly. They come unexpectedly. We live in Tornado Alley. And for the rest of the United States who doesn't live here, it's hard to imagine how quickly a tornado can change things. That one moment, things are calm and you're going about your daily life, and the next moment, a tornado can level your house, take your family, change the whole community that you live in. It's a catastrophe. It's a terrible thing. But things happen unexpectedly. Car accidents, deaths in the family, unplanned hospital visits. There's all kinds of things that happen very quickly because storms come unexpectedly. That's one of the things about a crisis, is that we are not expecting it. We are not ready for it. We haven't thought about it. We haven't prepared for it. And they come unexpectedly. The Bible says a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. It was unexpected. These guys were professional fishermen. They lived their life on the Sea of Galilee. They knew how to navigate storms. But in this moment, as they have Jesus in the boat with them, they're not expecting a storm. Verse 38 says, "But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" There's so much in this verse, but the main thing I want you to see is that even in the midst of the storm, Jesus is with us. He's with us. And though we may be concerned, we may be worried, we may be filled with anxious thoughts and think, as a matter of fact, we may think that we're perishing. But Jesus is cool, calm, collected, resting, sleeping on a pillow. And what I want you to see is that you don't need to take his sleeping on the pillow as him being disinterested or indifferent. No, he's very interested. He's very plugged in. Why? Because he has a plan. He knew when he stepped into that boat that we're going to the other side. We got somewhere to go. We got something to do. We got a place to make a difference. And so even in the midst of the storm, he's with us, and Jesus is calm. And so we, being filled with Jesus, need to be that voice of calm to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family. We need to be the voice of that purposeful life, that even in the midst of this crisis, that Jesus has a plan and a purpose for our lives. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And so therefore, we can put all our anxiousness upon him, because he cares for us. Jesus is with us in the midst of the storm. Verse 39 says, "Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. What's interesting about this passage is that the disciples felt at that moment that they were going to die, that it was over, that they were going to cash it in. But Jesus arose from his place and spoke a word from heaven. And that word from heaven changed everything. You see, at the end of the day, the crisis in our life, whether it's personal or whether it's public like this one, ought to be pushing us towards getting that word from heaven. And how are we going to get that word from heaven? By spending time with Jesus. By spending time in his presence. And so a word from heaven always calms the storms in our life. Prophesying over one another, speaking the word over one another, blessing one another. You see, the Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. That word from heaven can change you if you receive it this morning. A word from heaven calms the storm and changes everything. Verse 40 says, and Jesus said to them, why are you so fearful? Why are you so filled with anxiety and worry? How is it that you have no faith? When we sense that fear coming in our lives, that anxiety, that worry, then that's the first sign that our faith is sliding off the deck of our ship. And so I know even my own life, a few days ago, I was left our house, which is only 5 or 10 minutes from the church. And as I was driving down the tollway, I was listening to the news. And I tell you, I felt my chest tighten. I felt my throat tighten. I began to feel the anxiety and the worry of what's going to happen to us and how is this going to affect us and how are we going to make. Just crazy stuff. And I had to take note of that in that moment. I had to stop my slide, that faith sliding off the deck of my life. And I had to get back into faith. Now, how do you get back into faith? By speaking forth God's word. I do not have a spirit of fear. I worry and anxiety shall not come near me. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah. And we have to remember that. And so fear is the first sign that our faith has slid off the deck. And so when you feel that anxiety, you feel that worry, you feel that fear coming upon you, you got to speak a word from heaven. Amen. Speak the word of God over your life. Speak the word of God into that atmosphere. And say, I do not have fear. I refuse to walk in fear now in Jesus' name. The Bible says in verse 41, at the end of this passage, and they feared exceedingly. And they said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, here's the big truth that everybody misses. Jesus controls the crisis. He controls the crisis. He can use it as an instrument to draw us back to him. And if of all the other things that God is working, you can be rest assured this one thing, that God is working on you. He's working on me. He wants to use this crisis in his life to reveal some things about ourselves, to help us in some things, and to walk in a way that's clearer and more nearer to him. And so this passage really shows us really the effect of this kind of crisis on people's lives. And so I wanted to share this morning some implications for our church. Speaking of a crisis, what are the implications for our church? What are the implications for me and for you? You know, there's a new disorder now to add to all the other psychological disorders we have. Everyone's heard of the post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. It's a real thing. Many of our soldiers and armed forces have come home and had to deal with post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's the feeling and the emotions that you have of having gone through something very dangerous, very stressful. And after that stressful situation, it's your feelings of guilt, of remorse, of pain, of anger that create in you a traumatic stress syndrome, disorder, and keep you on edge. And so everybody's familiar with that. But now there happens to be what they call the pre-traumatic stress disorder. The pre-traumatic. Before anything traumatic ever happens, you already start to feel the emotion of what could happen. The emotion of how stressful it could be. The guilt and the shame and the pain of how this is going to make you look, how this is going to make you feel, what this is going to take from you, what this is going to destroy in your life before it ever happens. And so I want just to remind you again that your mind, the Bible says that you have been given not the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You have a sound mind. That means you do not have to let your thoughts carry you away. You do not have to let every whim of the devil carry you away. You don't have to let those feelings and emotions dictate what you think. You have a sound mind from the Lord. And so we want to talk about what a crisis does. What a crisis does in our life. And reorient our mind towards things above and not on things below. A crisis reveals our desperate need for God. It reveals how desperately we need God. There's something that's exposed in our desperate need for God that's kind of interesting, especially for Western fluent people like most of us. One is the myth of certainty, that life is going to be certain, that today is going to be certain, that tomorrow is going to be certain, and that things will continue certainly as they have before, and they will continue afterwards. Now, that's a myth. That's a myth. Because things are uncertain. You just lulled into believing in certainty, right? And the other thing is the illusion of control. Is that we think we control our world. We think we control our assets, our children, our families, the trajectory that they're on. We think that we're sort of in control because we have a paycheck and we have a home, our house, our apartment, a life, and we're sort of in control of where we're going, what we're doing, and how we're doing life. But the truth is, neither are things certain, and no, you're not in control. And that's what this coronavirus has done for us. It's taken away the certainty that tomorrow I'll wake up, I'll shower, and I'll go to work. It's taken away the control that we had. I used to get wake up and go and do and be with all my friends and do whatever I wanted to. Well, no, now we're self-isolating and practicing good distancing from our friends, right? And so a crisis reveals our desperate need for God. It exposes the myth of certainty, the illusion of control. A crisis reveals the gap between our talking faith and our walking faith. We talk a good show. But walking, see, crisis really pares it all down to what do you really believe? Because what you really believe will dictate how you act and how you react. And so a crisis reveals that gap between what we say about our faith, we trust God, and how we walk that out, trying to trust everything but God. And so it reveals the gap between our talking faith and our walking faith. It reveals our need for community. I've never seen so many bored people online in all my life. Why? Because at home, isolated, we realize how much we need each other. How much we need just to talk, to open our lives, to share with people, to visit with people, just to let them know, hey, I'm here. I'm alive. And it reveals our need for community. All of us need a place to love others and to be loved. And a moment like this comes, and it separates us one from another, and we have to find new ways to connect. Thank God for the technology that we have and the ability that we can connect through technology. But what a crisis does, it reveals the need, technology or no technology, that we have for other human beings in our life. It's important. A crisis reveals new opportunities. This is one of the most important things that we see, because a crisis creates the opportunity for us to grow in our faith. I mean, everybody out there right now should be caught up, or just almost caught up, with your one-year Bible reading, right? We've had time. We've had time to do it. I mean, you know, so there's no football on. There's no sports on. There's nothing but more bad news about coronavirus. So just turn the TV off and read your Bible, because this crisis has created an opportunity for us to draw closer to the Lord and closer to one another. And so a crisis always reveals new opportunities, places where we can grow in our faith, grow in our walk with God, places where we can serve others and be a blessing to others, places where we can align our lives, align what we say and what we do into one thing. We say what we do, and we do what we say. Crisis is important to that. A crisis empowers new leaders. When a crisis comes, it's an open door for those who want to lead to lead. I mean, it's an open door for new leaders. And so a crisis creates opportunity for people to lead in whole new ways. And so I'm so thankful for all those that are here this morning, our worship staff and our support staff that are here. You guys are taking a risk by coming, but you're here because it's a place for you to serve God and a place for you to find meaning, that your life is making a difference this morning in the people that are watching us and the people that are here with us online. And so it empowers new leaders, new servers, people to line. But it also creates a new opportunity for us to repent. For us to repent of our hurried lifestyle. For us to repent of our lack of closeness to God and closeness to others. And just change. We don't have to make a big statement about it. It's just turn towards God. Turn towards God. Allow him into your heart and into your life. And somebody say, well, why would God let this happen? Well, here's what I'm convinced of. That things like this happen because there's evil and darkness in the world. But God is so awesome that he is able to turn those things that are evil and darkness around for our good. And to use things like this. I think God created this crisis, but he can use it as an instrument in our lives to draw us closer to him, to grow us in our faith, to get our mindset on the things that really matter, and to show us the way. So a crisis is a place to grow, serve, align, repent. It empowers new leaders. A crisis reveals your tribe. Yeah. In a crisis, you'll find out who's really with you and who's really not. And so it reveals our tribe. And finally, a crisis reveals the true you. That's right. The true you. Because in a crisis, it strips the facade of religion off of us. It strips the niceties off of us. It strips away all the walls that we have between us, so that only we're left. You see, I'm sure those disciples, before they said something to Jesus, Master, we're perishing. I'm sure they were talking big, thinking big. I mean, where were Jesus? He says, go to the other side. All we got to do is get in the boat, and we are there. And all of a sudden, a crisis arises. A storm comes up from nowhere. And now, we've stripped away all that false confidence, all that bravado. We've stripped away all that niceties to just the bare, raw person that we really are. With all of our issues and all of our problems, Jesus is still concerned about us. You see, we think all that stuff there is to protect us. But God sees it all as a distraction from him. And times like this come, Christ has come in our life to strip away that stuff. You know, a crisis brings out the worst in people. Somebody stabbed somebody the other day in a grocery store over toilet paper. but it also brings out the best in people. People are checking on their neighbors. People are checking on those that are most vulnerable. People are looking for places to volunteer. Churches that want to serve their city. People who want to serve one another. Reaching out to neighbors. So it's not just the worst that's exposed, it's the best that's exposed. Some of our worship team have been self-isolated, so what they decided to do? Let's write some music. We'll put it right back in the devil's face. And so crisis reveals the true you. A crisis has the power to change the trajectory of our lives. Mark 4, 38, 39, disciples said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" The Bible says he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. One word from heaven, things are never the same again. Just one word from heaven. A crisis is where danger and opportunity converge. We live in dangerous times, but in the midst of the crisis, there are many opportunities for us to glorify God. You have a word from heaven. Now use it. Use it to set other people free. Use it to set yourself free. Get all the strife and the worry and the issues that you carry, the injustices, all that stuff. Get all that stuff off of you. Just be free. Be free to let the Lord take you through this crisis where he wants you to go, because he's going to change the trajectory of your life, change the trajectory of your ministry. Some of you, he's going to change the trajectory of your job and your money, your finances. Trust him. He loves you. He's got something great in store for you. So I want to encourage you that if you're listening via online today and you've never really surrendered your heart at that level to God, you've never really seen a crisis as an opportunity to draw near to God, then I want to invite you to make a decision today. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to open your heart and ask him to come into your life. Let him come in. He loves you. He cares for you. One of the reasons for this crisis is so that he could draw near to you and you could draw near to him. He loves you. I want you to bow your head wherever you are right now and just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I open my heart today. Come into my life. Change me forever. I want to be the person that you created me to be. In Jesus' name. If you said that prayer and meant it in your heart, then I believe you're born again. If you would let us know, maybe by chat or online, or perhaps you'd like to email us, info@trinitydallas.com. We'd be sure to follow up with you, get you some information about what it means to be a Christian, and encourage you in your walk with God. If you're here local in Dallas, then we want to invite you to tune in online. Every day, we're going to be making updates and bringing you the word from heaven to encourage you in that day. And so join us. Be a part of our online community. Encourage one another to be a part of that, because God has great things in store for us. Here's what the Bible says in James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Be happy when there's a crisis, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And patience will have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God wants you to be complete, perfect, and lacking nothing. And the way to do that is draw near to him. Use this moment that we have. It won't last forever, to get closer to God. He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but he's giving you power, love, and a sound mind. So walk in that this week in Jesus' name. God bless you, and thank you for joining us. See you again online soon.